Jim Carnicelli's AI Blog, Saturday, October 8, 2005. Stereo Disparity Edge Maps. I've been experimenting further with stereo vision. Recently, I made a small breakthrough that I thought worth describing for the benefit of other researchers working toward the same end. One key goal of mine with respect to stereo vision has been the same as for most involved in the subject: being able to tell how far away things are in a scene from the camera, or, at least, relative to one another. If you wear glasses or contact lenses, you've probably seen that test of your depth perception in which you look through polarizing glasses at a sheet of black rings and attempt to tell which one looks like it is floating above the others. It's astonishing to me just how little disparity there has to be between the images in one's left and right eyes in order for one to tell which one is different from the others. Other researchers have used a variety of techniques for getting a machine to have this sort of perception. I am currently using a combination of techniques. Let me describe them briefly. First, when the program starts up, the eyes have to get focused on the same thing. Both eyes start out with a focus box, a rectangular region smaller than the image each eye sees and analogous to the human fovea, that is centered on one image. The images, that is. The first thing that happens once the eyes see the world is that the focus boxes are matched up using a basic patch equivalence technique. You can read about patch equivalence in my machine vision topics subsite in another part of this website. In this case, a full alignment involves moving the right eye's focus patch in a grid pattern over the whole field of view of the right eye in large increments, e.g. 10 pixels horizontally and vertically. The best matching place then becomes the center of a second scan in single pixel increments in a tighter region to find precisely the best matching placement for the right field of view. The full alignment operation is expensive in terms of time, about 3 seconds on my laptop. With every 10th snapshot taken by the eyes, I perform a horizontal alignment, a trimmed-down version of the full alignment. With every 10th snapshot taken by the eyes, I perform a horizontal alignment, a trimmed-down version of the full alignment. This time, however, the test does not involve moving the right focus box up or down relative to its current position, only left and right. This, too, can be expensive, about 1 second for me. So finally, with each snapshot taken, I perform a light horizontal alignment, which involves looking a little to the left and to the right of the current position of the focus box. This takes less than a second on my laptop, which is definitely worth making it a standard with each snapshot. The result is that the eyes generally line their focus boxes up quickly on the objects in the scene as they are pointed at different viewpoints. If the jump is too dramatic for the light horizontal alignment process, eventually the full horizontal alignment process corrects for that. Once the focus boxes are lined up, the next step is clear. For each part of the scenes that are in the left focus box, look for its mate in the right focus box. Then calculate how many pixels offset the left and right versions are from each other. Those with zero offsets are at a neutral distance relative to the focus box, those with the right version's offsets being positive, a little to the right, are probably farther away, and those with the right-hand features having negative offsets, a little to the left, are probably closer. This much is conventional wisdom, and the math is actually simple enough that one can even estimate absolute distances from the camera, given that some numeric factors about the cameras are known in advance. I have a link within the document here to another blog entry on the subject of finding distance from a camera using disparity. The important question, then, is how to match features in the left box with the same features in the right. I chose to use a variant of the same patch equivalence technique I used for lining up the focus boxes. In this case, I break down the left focus box into a lot of little patches, one for each pixel in the box. Each patch is about 9 pixels wide, What's interesting, though, is that I'm using one-dimensional patches, which means each patch is only one pixel high. For each patch in this tight grid of overlapping patches in the left focus box, there is a matching patch in the right focus box, too. Initially, its center is exactly the same as for the left one, relative to the focus box. For each patch in the left side, then, we move its right-hand mate from left to right, from about negative 4 to positive 4 pixels. Whichever place yields the lowest difference is considered the best match. That place, then, is considered to be where the right-hand pixel is for the one we're considering on the left. And hence we have our horizontal offset. For the large fields of homogeneous color in a typical image, it doesn't make sense to use patch equivalence testing. It makes more sense to focus instead on the strong features in the image. So to the above, I added a traditional Sobel edge detection algorithm, and I have a link to a great website that describes the Sobel algorithm. I use it to scan the right focus box, but I only use the vertical test. That means I find strong vertical edges and largely ignore strong horizontal edges. Why do this? Stereo disparity tests with two eyes side by side only work well with strong vertical features. So only pixels in the image that get high values from the Sobel test are considered using the above technique. The whole operation takes a little under a second on my laptop. Not bad. Following are some preliminary image sets that show test results. Here's how to interpret them. The first two images in each set are the left and right fields of view, respectively. The third image is a result image. That is, it shows features within the focus box and indicates their relative distance to the camera. Strongly green features are closer to, strongly red features are farther away, and black features are relatively neutral distances with respect to the focus box pair. The largely white areas represent areas with few strong vertical features and are hence ignored by the tests. Well, assuming you can't see these images, there are, 6 sets of 3 images each. And each of the 3 images, like I said, you've got what the left eye sees, including a little white focus box inside, what the right eye sees, including its same version of the focus box, and finally an output image. And the output image is a little square. In most cases, this square is pure white, and what you have inside is dirty little areas, if you will. Like in the first image. The first image is a little piece of whiteboard that I have at an angle relative to the cameras, and on this whiteboard are drawn blue little circle splotches. And because each of these splotches is at a different distance to the camera, naturally the right hand, the final image, the output image, shows that each circle's relative distance to the cameras. Or relative, I guess, to the focus box. So the big circle in the center is mostly black, a little bit of green, a little bit of red. The circles that are closer look strongly green in the output image, and what you see is sort of rings of greenness. You don't see the whole blue color blob, just the sharp edges around the rings. And those circles which are farther away from the camera are clearly more red than they are green. There's very little tinges of green here and there. So there are 6 of these shots looking at different things. So one set, for example, looks at some curtains and some plants which are at different depths, and one can see one particular leaf that stands out against the backdrop of the curtains farther away has a very strong green edge, and some aspects of the of some distant parts looking out the window have strong red edges to them. Clearly they're farther away than the curtains are, which in the curtains appear to be the neutral area. And a few other pictures like that. They aren't all as clear as I'd like them to be, but that's life. In all, I'm impressed with the results. One can't say that the output images are unambiguous in what they say about perceived relative distance. Some faraway objects show tinges of green, and some nearby objects have tinges of red, which of course doesn't make sense. Yet overall, there are strong trends that suggest this technique is actually working. With some good engineering, the quality of results can be improved. Better cameras wouldn't hurt either. One thing I haven't addressed yet is the white areas. A system based on this might see the world as though it were made up of wireframe objects. If I want to have a vision system that's aware of things as being solid and having substance, it'll be necessary to determine how far away the areas among the sharp vertical edges are too. I'm certain that a lot of that has to do with inferences our visual systems make based on known edges and knowledge of how matter works. Obviously, I have a long way to go to achieve that.